power of habit, why we do what we do in life and business, author Charles Duhigg. The nature of habits. Most of the choices we make each day may feel like the products of well-considered decision-making, but they're not. They're habits. And though each habit means relatively little on its own, over time, the meals we order and what we say to our kids each night, how often we exercise, and the way we organize our thoughts and work routines have enormous impacts on our health, productivity, financial security, and happiness. We now know why habits emerge, how they change, and the science behind their mechanics. We understand how to make people eat less, exercise more, work more efficiently, and live healthier lives. Transforming habits isn't necessarily easy or quick. It's not always simple, but it's possible. The habits of individuals. The process in which the brain converts a sequence of actions into an automatic routine is known as chunking, and it's the root of how habits form. There are dozens of behavioral chunks that we rely on every day. Some are simple, some are a little more complex. The routine occurs by habit. Once that habit starts unfolding, our grey matter is free to quiet itself or chase other thoughts. Starbucks and the habit of success. Starbucks is one of the world's largest companies that had succeeded in teaching the life skills that schools, families, and communities failed to provide. At the core of that education is an intense focus on an all-important habit, willpower. Dozens of studies show that willpower is the single most important keystone habit for individual, as well as organizational, success. When the company began plotting its massive growth strategy in the late 1990s, executives recognized that success required cultivating an environment that justified paying $4 for a fancy cup of coffee. The company needed to train its employees to deliver a bit of joy alongside latte and scones. So they spent millions of dollars teaching their employees to regulate their emotions and marshal their self-discipline. Their willpower occurs without them having to think about it. This is exactly what successful organizations, including Starbucks, are doing, turning willpower into a habit. Willpower, skill or muscle. In the 1960s, there was a famous experiment in which scientists tested the willpower of a group of four-year-olds. The kids were brought into a room and presented with a selection of marshmallows. They were offered a deal. They could eat one marshmallow right away, or, if they waited a few minutes, they could have two marshmallows. Then the researcher left the room. Some kids gave in to temptation and ate the marshmallow as soon as the adult had left. About 30% managed to ignore their urges and doubled their treats when the researcher came back. Years later, the researchers tracked down many of the study's participants. They discovered that the kids who could delay gratification the longest ended up with the best grades. They were more popular than others. They get to class and finish their homework on time and resist peer pressure. It was as if the marshmallow-ignoring kids had self-regulatory skills that gave them the advantage throughout their lives. More experiments were conducted, and by the 1980s, a theory emerged that became generally accepted. Willpower is a learnable skill. However, a psychologist named Mark Muravan discovered these studies in the mid-90s and started asking questions the previous researchers didn't seem to answer. To Muravan, a skill is something that remains consistent from day to day. If you have the skill to cook on Wednesday, you'll still know how to cook on Friday. Therefore, he wondered why some evenings he would come home from work and have no problem going for a jog, while other days he just lay on the couch. It was as if his brain had forgotten how to summon the willpower to push him out of the door. If willpower is a skill, Muravan wondered, then why doesn't it remain constant from day to day? Muravan's solution was the lab containing one bowl of cookies and one bowl of radishes. Half the students were instructed to eat the cookies, while the other half eat the radishes. The researcher left the room. The cookies eaters were in heaven, why the radish eaters were in agony. After 5 minutes, the researcher re-entered the room. By Moravan's estimation, the radish eaters' willpower had been thoroughly taxed by ignoring the cookies. The cookie eaters had hardly used any of their self-discipline. Then the researcher asked them to complete a puzzle. It looked very simple. Trace a geometric pattern without lifting your pencil from the page or going over the same line twice. If you want to quit, the researcher said, ring the bell. It took enormous willpower to keep working on the puzzle, particularly when each attempt failed. From behind their two-way mirror, the researchers watched. The cookie eaters looked relaxed. One of them hit a roadblock and then started again, and again, and again. The radish eaters, with their depleted willpower, acted completely differently. They muttered, got frustrated, and even one of them complained that the whole experiment was a waste of time. Some of them put their heads on the table and closed their eyes. The radish eaters worked for only about 8 minutes, 60% less time than the cookie eaters. Moravan discovered that by making people use a little bit of their willpower, we put them into a state where they're willing to quit much faster. Willpower, therefore, isn't just a skill, it's a muscle. Like muscles in the arms and the legs, and it gets tired as it works harder. The habits of societies. One day, a desperate man called Brian Thomas picked up the phone and called an emergency operator. "I think I've killed my wife," he said. "I thought someone had broken in. I was fighting with him, but it was my wife. I must have been dreaming or something. What have I done?" After the investigation, the man turned out to be suffering from sleepwalking. Sleepwalking is an odd outgrowth of normal aspect of how our brains work whilst we slumber. Sleepwalkers can behave in complex ways, all the while essentially unconscious. However, scientists have found a distinction between sleepwalking and something called sleep terrors. People in the midst of sleep terrors seem to be in the grip of terrible anxieties. The behaviours of people in this grip are habits. They are just automatic behaviour so ingrained in our neurology that they can occur with almost no input from the higher regions of the brain. For example, when someone in the midst of a sleep terror starts feeling threatened, they react by following the habits associated with this stimulus. People experiencing sleep terrors have jumped off of tall roofs because they believed they were fleeing from attackers. They've killed their own babies because they believed they were fighting wild animals. Thus, someone in the grip of a sleep terror simply follows the habit loop no matter where it leads. On the other hand, there was a desperate man who was neglected by his family and found his only consolation in gambling. He started by doing it once a week, but years later he was addicted to gambling. He started borrowing, and by the summer of 2001, his debts hit $20,000. He hired a bankruptcy attorney, cut up his credit cards, and sat at the table to write out a plan for a more responsible life. But of course, years later, after he'd lost everything and ruined his life, that man started gambling again, not by choice, but out of habit. His parents passed away and he learned that he'd inherited almost $1 million. When he got to the casinos, his gambling habit took over almost as soon as he walked in. He again lost everything and was imprisoned. Habits aren't simple as they might appear. We can choose our habits once we know how. Hundreds of habits influence our lives. They guide how we get dressed, talk to our kids, do our business, and fall asleep at night. Each of them has a different cue and offers a unique reward. Aristotle once said, "Some thinkers hold that it's by nature that people become good, others that it's by habit, and others that it's by instruction." For Aristotle, habits reign supreme. The behaviours that occur unthinkingly are the evidence of our truest selves. So just as a piece of land has to be prepared beforehand if it's to nourish the seed, so the mind of the pupil has to be prepared in its habits if it is to enjoy and dislike the right things.